Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Brooke, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Oh, that's a cute one.
Very nice.
Attention-seeking brother in the background.
Yeah. This is my two-year-old daughter, Brooke, who was interrupted by her older brother, Mason, who is 4.5. Thank you for keeping me laughing whilst running. Your sexy and relatable voices zen me out on my daily runs. Can't wait to see you in Birmingham next year. Rob, I've got to start this with quite a stranger. Do you remember in the last episode,
yeah,
which we just recorded, I went up to the bedroom?
Yeah.
So Rose needs to go to bed now, so I need to leave the bedroom.
Right.
She's just texted me to say, can she have the bedroom?
But that's because you don't sleep in the same room, isn't it? Nothing to do with the podcast.
No, exactly. I sleep on the sofa.
Held up like a dog.
So I'm just going to nip downstairs.
Yeah. Okay, so is Rose walking past?
I don't know if she's going to walk past.
How big's she landed?
How big's the landing? We've got two separate entrances to the bedroom. Rose, do you want to go upstairs? I was going to do it in the sitting room. Yeah, she was just saying she didn't think I should risk it on the kitchen.
No. So you're not going to risk it in the kitchen, you're going to do it in the living room?
Yeah. She just said, for fuck's sake.
About what?
Just her life.
You should ask her one of the book questions live.
Yeah, why don't you ask that book question then?
Shall I ask her a book question live? Which was the one we didn't want?
What is the thing that you do that make her realise how much she loves you?
Okay. Rose, quick question. Can you tell us one thing that Josh does that makes you feel truly loved and cared for, no matter how trivial or mundane? Can you hear her laughing?
Yeah. Just the one. Don't tell her to... She doesn't need to do 5 or 6.
Who the fuck has asked that?
Can you hear that?
What'd she say?
She said, who the fuck's asked that?
Well, actually, one of our very loyal and loving listeners.
Well, really want a genuine answer to that.
I don't think 10 o'clock on a Monday night when the kids just woke up's the time to ask.
You text me and ask me whether I want to go to bed when you're...
All right, did you hear that?
Doing a podcast.
She said that I text her and ask if she wants to go to bed when I'm doing a podcast in the bedroom.
Oh, so that's... Oh, isn't that so lovely?
Yeah, really nice.
I think maybe if she had some time alone and wasn't being kept up by you and me and Michael, that she might have something to say nice. So maybe it might be nicer in the book.
Yeah, I think that would be a better version of that.
Because from that interaction, I'd pick up on the feeling of despondent.
That's a lot. That was a lot to be asked on the spot.
She said that's a lot to be asked on the
spot.
Exactly. I think that is fair, yeah.
When she's got time, I'm sure there'll be loads of things.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure. We'll see. Well, buy the book, see. okay. We're already 5 minutes into the podcast, according to my timings. That's
see, Chris Ramsey had it right. It's half the workload, isn't it? If Lou and Rose did this, we wouldn't have to speak. It'd be well easy. Do you know what we should do? We should pretend to have a big falling out and then set up our own podcast, you with Rose, me with Lou, and then pretend that we really don't get on with each other and slag each other off and try and build it like a big rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, it's all under the same banner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like Frankie and Eamon.
Who's Frankie and Eamon?
Do you remember...
Oh, Fuck You
single?
Right Back.
Fuck You and Fuck You Right Back.
Yeah. Just like Frankie and Eamon. Oh, I thought of Frankie Bridge and Eamon Holmes when you said that. Should we do some listener stuff? I feel like we're being
quick couple of listener things and then let's bring on Hanson.
Okay. Okay, that's what we'll do is we'll do big celeb, small places. That's what we put a call out for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here we go. Here. This one, Drake in a co-op in Walsall, which I think is absolute bollocks.
That can't be
from
true.
Jared.
That sounds like an example one we'd give.
Yeah.
Does he realise they have to be real or is he just going, oh, right, I can do this?
300, actually. So maybe he's got the wrong end of the stick, Jared.
Oh, that just doesn't seem right, does it?
My family own a holiday house in Ventnor, Isle of Wight, and on New Year's Eve, we went down to the local pub when Robert Pattinson and Kirsten Stewart walked by.
No.
Who was exactly the same as she is in Twilight. He wasn't taking any photos that day, but he said Happy New Year to us, and the waitress knew that we were Twilight fans and gave us the glass he drank out of.
What are you doing with that?
Now I look back and think that's actually a bit weird. Yes, it is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Katie from Watford, Hertfordshire. I always think people from Watford, but Hertfordshire, are trying to sex up Watford.
Yeah.
Everyone heard of Watford. You don't need the Hertfordshire bit.
Exactly, yeah.
It just makes it sound posher, doesn't it? Talking of underwhelming celeb spots in good places, in New York City, we bumped into Noel Edmonds.
Oh, that's good.
Nicola. Oh, this is a good one.
Oh, did I tell you I once saw Beppe in LA?
I don't know, but it feels like something you've said before. Beppe DeMarco.
Beppe DeMarco. Right, actually. Michael Greco.
This one's a good one. Small celebrities in big places. In the year about 2000, I saw Darius Dinesh.
Oh, yes, please. You know,
from Pop Idol. Is it Dinesh? Yeah, yeah. Darius. Yeah. Hit me, baby.
Yeah, and colourblind.
One more time. I saw him going up an escalator in one of the big hotels in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Hipper from South Shields.
Very nice.
I've got Terry Waite in Felixstowe.
I thought that was who'd written in.
No, Terry Waite, the hostage guy, signing autographs in a porter cabin in Felixstowe. From Rob Mayhew.
Yeah,
here we've got another one. A few years ago, I was in Times Square, New York with my sister, and she pointed and said, look, there's Ally McCoist. I looked up to see... I looked up to see Alan Hansen standing in front of us from Fiona. This is great.
More of these, please.
My mum once saw Bruce Springsteen, but in a posh hotel. That don't count. It was in the Savoy or something. But it doesn't count. My husband saw Alice Cooper in River Island in a shopping centre in Derby. Now, come on.
Come on. Now.
That can't be. Apparently, he was happy to stop and have a chat, Emma. Here we go.
I suppose if you're on tour and you're, even if you're Alice Cooper, you've got to do something with your day.
Yeah, because he probably would have done Derby. If you come over the UK tour, you've got to
do
something. Derby.
He's got to do something.
Do you reckon he went to River Island and went, oh, look at this really cool British shop? I haven't got that in LA. Maybe this is what Beppe DeMarco wears in LA. I've never seen it. I've never seen anyone else in it. this is a good one. For the most exciting, this is a really good one. This might win it, actually. For the most exciting celeb in the most underwhelming place, in my hometown of Salisbury, which is Novichok famous now, but this is before then, I think, I saw Jay-Z and Beyonce outside Poundland.
What?
Hear me out. This is what he's saying. So Jay-Z and Beyonce, two of the most famous people in the world, outside Poundland in Salisbury, he was in town for the release of his album Magna Carta, as we have one of the only remaining copies in the cathedral.
Oh, wow.
From Tim. He doesn't that think is, they were shopping in the Poundland shop.
That is good. Do you know Kurt Cobain met Courtney Love in Newport?
What, in Wales?
Yeah.
Really? What were they doing?
I think they were both on tour, or one of them was on tour... And the other was in
Newport.
In Newport.
They must have stopped for a piss on the way to Cardiff.
Yeah, they
There's no way. No offence, Newport, but it's so near Cardiff. If you're Kurt Cobain, you're doing Cardiff. You're never doing Cardiff and Newport. You're doing one or the other. And if you were lower level, you might do a smaller room in Newport and work your way to Cardiff. But surely Cobain.
Surely.
This is the last one before we bring on our next act. In response to seeing celebrities in unexciting places, Samuel Jackson in a cafe in Huddersfield.
What?
There is a caveat. He was in West Yorkshire filming a new Marvel film.
I think that's fair. I think it's good when they give the example.
Yes, you need a reason why. Because you need to explain this shit. Because there's no offence, Huddersfield. There's absolutely no reason for Samuel Jackson to visit unless he's being paid. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. Shall we bring on Hanson?
What is this as a job, Hanson? How have we interviewed Hanson? It's a good interview, though, isn't it?
We were nervous about this, weren't we? But they were much more of a laugh than we thought they were going to be.
Great laugh. I was really nervous about doing it, but they were really funny. And they've got loads of kids.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Enjoy.
We are very excited to be joined by Hanson today, lads, live from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Sorry for getting you up early.
No, we have children. We've been up. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. What time is it then? 9 a.m.
It's not super early. It's 9:30. Yeah.
Oh, 9:30. Oh,
that's yes. Middle of the day for a dad.
This is the most people we've ever interviewed at one time.
Yes, and probably we have the most children that you've ever talked to someone.
Well, take us through the amount of children you have. Let's go left to right. So give us your name and the amount of children you have.
So this is Taylor. I have 7.
7?
Fucking hell, Taylor.
Yeah, and this is Zach. I have 5.
Whoa!
And this is Isaac. I have 3.
Yeah,
right. Isaac, you need to put in more effort, mate. 3. What's wrong with you?
Exactly. Yeah. See, this is how I feel in my family. I'm like, wait, I have 3 kids. It feels like a lot to me, you know. And these other guys with their, you know, overperforming over here. Jeez.
He said quality, not quantity. And I said quantity, baby. Let's do it.
Okay.
Obviously, you three are all brothers, but you're from a family of 7. You've got the 7 of you, like siblings. So is that always been loads of kids, like going back through the generations?
Well, actually not. I mean, my dad had 2 sisters and my mom had 3 sisters. She was from 4. So, I mean, they were both from like reasonably sized, you know, families. I think we grew up in around an era of, we had a bunch of friends, families, all who had a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
But I never thought I would be that person, honestly. I mean, I'm like,
I didn't think he would be either. I actually thought I would be the other way around. I thought I'd be the one with 7 kids. Taylor would have 3, that kind of thing. You know?
I think the guy, you're like, you don't predict you're going to have it. That's why I have so many. Yeah. Not a lot of predicting going about on.
It. You know, we were homeschooled. They don't do sex education in homeschooling. I think Isaac just picked up a little more, you know, being the first. And
I've never been to Tulsa in Oklahoma. Is there anything else to do apart from have sex, or is that, do you just crack on with that?
I think it's just sex. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, okay.
So we will obviously come to the 5 and the 3, which normally would be enough to talk about. But what, can you just talk me through what a day with 7 kids is like?
Oh, yeah. Can we get the ages? Can we get the ages of the kids as well?
Yeah. Names and ages. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Can you remember?
Yeah. I have to think about it for a second. I'm ages. But I mean, 19 down to 1 is a huge spectrum.
19 down to 1.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got, it's, you know, once you pass, I think 3, we love Jim Gaffigan because he's got all these kids as a comedian and he has a fantastic joke. He's like, I'm going to tell you what it's like to have 4 kids. He's like, well, just imagine you're drowning and then someone hands you a baby. Okay. So that's, and also I think this is, he said this, I don't know if he said this or, but I definitely feel it. People stop congratulating you after 3, you know, they're like, oh, really? You know, there's not like, oh, wow, that's fantastic. It's up till 3. It's like, oh, my God, that's so great. Yeah.
No, and you had personal experience with that, actually.
So the last, it happens. It changes the whole dynamic. I mean, 5 is huge. 5 is, I think, is the big kid category for sure. Mm. But 7 is, it's just an extension of that. It's like you have more than one. It's not like you have one class. When you have 3, you still have one class of children. Like they're in the same school. Once you have 7, you have like all the schools. You have dorms. You have everything. You know,
daycare,
so college,
daycare to college.
I have college down to down to, you know, pre-K. You know, so.
But you haven't actually given us the names and ages yet. Are you avoiding that because you can't.
Sorry. So Ezra's 19. Penelope is 17. River's 15. Vigo is 13. Willa is 9, Indiana is 2.5, and then Maybelline is 1.
Wow. Jesus. That is incredible.
It's unbelievable. Oh, so you look too young to have that many kids.
He started pretty young. Well, Ezra, you had Ezra when
you can start it. You can start at 12 in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. I don't think that's true.
I'm not good at bad advice.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal, actually.
You were like 19 or 20 when...
Yeah, I mean, I was 20, so.
And so you guys come from 7. Mm-hmm. And so the other 4, was there any point at which they were part of the band? Is there another band of 4 before Hanson's going around?
They were very young.
So I was 6 when we started the band.
I remember you being really young.
Yeah,
When Umbop came out and you were like...
I was about 12 when I'm back.
You're 12.
Home.
He was thinking about a family at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. He had two kids. He already had two kids. He had to get some money in.
Yeah. When we formed the band, half of our siblings weren't even born yet.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah. Like so, right. So like our the sister below me would have been like 4.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She just couldn't keep a tune at 4, you know? Yeah.
She was always needing
to go to the bathroom and, you know, couldn't hold it long enough. So we were just like, you're out. The 2-year-old sister under that, we were like, come on, stand up. Come on, it's only an hour and a half show. Come on.
So what's Christmas like with the, like, do you all go back to your parents? Like, what, do all the family get together? How many people are there?
Well, there are between our kids and our siblings' kids, there are 24 grandchildren, right? Whoa. Something like that.
We are 24 cousins.
So imagine going to like a Chuck E. Cheese or a kids' play park, you know, and that's what it's like. It's just like adults going, oh, God, oh, put that down. Please save me. No.
What have I done?
You sort of hear like a motorized vehicle or something. You go, I hope a kid's not in the front seat.
Yeah.
Because you can't, with that, it's a numbers game. Because you're like, you know, they're your nephew or nieces or the grandkids. You can't like all of them, can you? Surely there must be a couple you're like, that one's annoying, but you can never say because it's so-and-so's kid.
There's a reason I only have 3. It's because Taylor and Zach were like, listen, you're kids. I mean, seriously, you know.
Yeah, no more of that.
We sat him down. You should really not do more.
No. Actually, the really interesting thing about having a bunch of kids with a wide age range is it actually gets a lot easier right about the time that we're at now because the older kids are old enough that they actually are substitute babysitters.
Right.
So like the teenagers, the guys, the girls, doesn't matter. They're all just kind of like, you know, every single like kid above the age of 13 has someone in their, you know, immediate purview that they're kind of watching out for.
Yeah.
Because we're too busy to parent.
Exactly. No.
So. Well, I've seen your diary. So your diary, your schedule, your touring, but you're in Europe from like the 8th of June, correct, right? You don't know. You're just nodding here. But and then you come to London.
Yes.
You're in London and Manchester end of June, and then you do Bristol, Leeds. You do a UK tour as well as the rest of Europe in Denmark, Sweden. Then you're back to North America touring, and then you do a huge tour there, and then you do Latin America, and then you have to Mexico and Brazil, and then Australia in November. So what's are you taking the kids or your partner's dealing with the kids? What's happening?
No. We're going on tour so we don't have to be around the kids. We've been around them for 2 straight years.
Yeah. Do you know how Isaac has managed to only have 3 kids? He went on tour a lot.
Exactly. Right. Because you've made me feel a lot better. Please, I'm away for 3 weeks. You've making me feel a lot better about that. Yeah. You're away for months at times.
I woke up the other morning, and so I have my youngest is 1, and Quincy came over, and I'm like, it's so sweet, honey. He of all our kids, he likes me more than any of the other kids. And she just looks at me and she goes, you weren't around for the other kids. They didn't know who you were. Like, you've been home for 2 years. He knows you. You've been here every morning. You know, like, the other kids,
this
you were
this is your
like,
dad. That's what they had to say at the start of those three years before
my,
that.
My 9-year-old was born. We happened to be a day off in Tulsa. He was born that day. I left the next morning to Kansas City to play a concert.
What?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken them on tour? Like, because I that would be distracting. Tough, right? Surely.
Madness. 7 of them.
It's madness, yeah.
You're like, how do you describe your kids? Distracting. I've got things to do.
Also, it's going to hit the profit. Because you've only, between you three, there's 7, there's 13, 15 kids and partners. You've got to put them up and feed them.
I know.
I'm complaining over here, going like, "Geez, guys, slow down! Seriously, I gotta share the load over here. You got 5 and 7 kids. I'm like,
No, I've already got my kids working. You know, snap, snap, go mow the lawn.
You've got kids that are as old as you were when you were winning Grammys, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that is true.
My oldest son is. I hope you remind them that they're not,
you know, doing enough. Yeah. I want a Grammy at your age. Get on with it. Get something done. You losers. Stuff like that.
We don't usually take them on tour. I think for my kids, it's like, I don't really want their life to be completely built around my choices. And so that's part of it. And then the other thing is just, it is a lot. It's not really, it might sound like going on vacation to all these exotic places, but you're there for like 12 hours. Yeah. You're in a, you know, dirty club or some weird venue. You know, we jokingly call it the tour of dumpsters and alleyways. You know, that's, man, did you see the alleyway in Milan? It was like, wow, super old.
You know? Well, because people don't realize that, especially this, like, the higher you go up the food chain as an entertainer, the worst places you see worst places. Like, you see back alleys and like the elevator that no one goes in. It's the service elevator. Or you drive through the back gate. You know, it's not like, here we are in the lobby, this beautiful.
It's
you
not
know.
Just one dumpster. It's 15, and they smell worse.
You're underneath the more building and going through the back through the kitchen. Oh, like, what's that smell? Are they cooking food in here?
Yeah. The most famous people in the world don't see anything. Yeah, they have to go everywhere through tunnels.
Yeah, so it's like, you know you're going somewhere when every time you get out of your car, you're like, yes, success.
So do you think you're going to find it harder, though, because you had those 2 years at home for like the pandemic and not touring and stuff, are you going to find it harder to leave them?
I mean, I think in some ways...
that was a nice, healthy pause.
Yeah.
We're thinking about it.
Yeah, the guy, the dad of seven there, not really bothered. No, it's been quite nice, actually.
No. I love them. I'll see you later.
Actually, I think the hardest thing actually is going to be, my wife and I were talking about this, is... It actually is going to be, I think, hardest on the relationship between my wife and I, not so much the kids situation. Yes. The kids are a little bit like, you know, bouncy balls. They always seem to have energy and bounce back. Yeah. You know, the challenge is going to be, hey, honey, sorry, you're flying solo for the next 5 months. Yeesh.
Yeah. So will it be 5 months fully, or will you go back and forward, or is it 5 months completely out of the house?
There's a few gaps. I'm actually being quite mostly because I actually probably bring my kids out the most, so I'm in the freak category. But I think that it's pretty much, especially internationally, it's virtually impossible to have all people.
Yeah.
But the U.S. is slightly more manageable, but. I mean, we're catching up. We're all making up for lost time. I mean, like you said, the last 2 years, it's like we got to get out there and, you know, hit the road. So
I think we would normally spread this amount of shows out by another probably 2-ish months, because it's a lot, you know, to squeeze in, you know, 90 plus shows in right at 5 months is, you know, like something between, it's like 4 to 4.5 shows a week for 5 months. Straight.
Oh, man.
It's full on.
When you're out there, so you're on all different kinds of time and stuff. So are you like, you FaceTiming back to home, but it's 5 a.m. because you're in Stockholm.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You're like, please don't. I obviously I want to talk to my kids, but I've just gone to bed, please. Or how does it work?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're about to find out to some degree, because I feel a little bit like I'm readjusting to the world. Because again, my youngest is a daughter, and she is 8 years old. So she hasn't known for the last 2 years, since she was 6 years old, even 5.5 almost, you know, she hasn't really seen me on the road just constantly like we're about to be. And I am just waiting for every few days her to call me and be something like,
where are you?
Daddy?
Oh, God.
Why are you gone?
Why don't you
it's
love me?
It's not fair.
Daddy.
Why don't you love me? You know, I was there, and she then, you know, I'm just waiting for the things. And then my sons will be like, hey guys, how was school? And they'll be like, fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, my experience with my kids is I come home and I'm like, where are they? And my wife's like, they're where they always are, upstairs on their video games and on their technology. I'm like, how are they doing in school? She's like, I don't know. They didn't say anything to me.
You're throwing your wife under the bus at that point.
We both look at each other and go, that must mean they're doing well, right? They'd let us know if they were getting F's, right? Yeah, of course. We're fine.
How old were you guys when you did like a big tour then, when you were younger? What ages were you when you were sort of like really hit it off on big tours?
First real tour, Zach was 12. I would have been 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
When we were promoting and doing that first first record. Yeah. Isaac was 17.
Yeah. We were hopping around a lot, obviously, in 1997, and so at that time we were about a year younger. But the real kind of full touring, you know, in a bus, all that stuff, didn't happen until about a year after
like
the record.
98.
Yeah, 98.
So yeah. 25 years.
Did your parents go with you? Because you said they had younger kids.
No, they
kids.
Were like, hey, that 11-year-old, he's fine. He'll be good.
Yeah, I think they were there.
All of our siblings, our parents traveled with us. I mean, that was...
Oh, wow.
We couldn't legally do anything. Somebody would have gone to prison if they sent us off without...
Yeah. Well,
guardians.
I didn't know if you had a chaperone or like a family. Because you all seem, for people that were so like mega famous at such a young age and sort of straight away, like winning Grammys and stuff, you seem quite with it, apart from, you know, the horrendous decision on having seven kids, but that's, you know, your fault.
people are like, you're fine, and then think about it for me, like, wait, five? You went for five? What?
Well, to be fair, I'm from a family of five. I've got four brothers, and it is busy, and a lot of arguments. But you seem
five,
quite
so
with
five
it.
Brothers all together, all brothers.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot brutal. Of dirty socks.
That's a lot of broken things.
We used to have a pants and socks amnesty where there were so many pants and socks in the house that used to get mixed up in the wash. My mum would just drop them on the front room floor and go, just take your own. Take what you want. So it was like a fight over the best ones.
Exactly.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. No, I'm at that phase where my 13-year-old is big enough that he started... his own amnesty program with my underwear and my clothes. I'm like,
wait, that's mine.
Where did my leather jacket? Hey, that looks damn it.
We seem mostly sane, but we've got brokenness inside.
Yes,
so
yes, we had so many kids, so we could pass it down.
What was your life like then, as an 11-year-old or 12-year-old? And what's your day like?
Are
you
getting a
gig in the
evening,
but you're being schooled in the day? Like how? And you're going on AMTV Music Awards, and then you're going, God, I've got my whatever they're called in America, SATs or whatever coming.
Yeah,
like exactly. You're just on the move.
So
like,
one advantage was in Oklahoma, it's very popular to be homeschooled. Period. So we were already before the band had any real success, we were homeschooled. And so like when you transition from being in Oklahoma to traveling to California to make albums or all over the world to tour, that was actually kind of the same. Schooling
you just
worked.
Bring your very heavy backpack with you with all your curriculum.
But it got a little weird there. And I'll say that my high school years, there wasn't a whole lot of school going on. There was a lot of school of life, like you're making a record, you're reading a contract, you're learning about how your publishing works, going on. And so, you know, there's some gaps.
I never dissected anything in biology or science. I'm okay with that. I'm fine.
Yeah. I didn't find out until about 30 that I was dyslexic. I'm like, oh yeah. Oh, that's why. Oh, the numbers, they're not moving for you. I just thought it was this fun game we're all playing where the numbers are moving.
Is that why there's so many M's at the beginning of MBOP?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's why.
I couldn't decide.
Wait, what do you mean there's so many M's? but at about 16, I tested out of school because it was this funny experience where you're like, why am I still going to school when I have a 9-to-5 job and most of the times a 9 to 2 a.m. job, you know, like this doesn't make any sense. Like, make sure to do your preparatory tests so you can figure out what you want to do with your life. I'm already doing it. Let me get on with it. Yeah, already doing it. You know, like
what about your kids? Are they homeschooled? Are your kids homeschooled or are they in schools?
You have to be careful what Quentin, when you ask a question like that. Isaac, are your kids in homeschool? Exactly. You can't speak collectively.
Yeah, they don't go to Hanson Preparatory Academy.
Yeah. We just drop them in a bunker.
Well, I didn't know if it was that you all made a decision as a family.
Yeah. we've all decided that you all do not need to learn to read. Okay.
So I have one kid who is homeschooled and two who are in a private school. So it's kind of a mix, sort of based on what child needs what. You know, the same thing for everybody.
Mine are in a private school.
Yeah, and mine have been we've done everything. We've done private, public. Currently, we're in a mostly public.
Yeah, when you have seven kids, you can't pay for private school for seven.
Well, there is that. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of kids.
But you could have, what you could have is one of your kids schooling another of your kids. That'd be much easier. You could get your kids to school each other.
Yeah, it's like that's personal tutoring.
Yeah, you want to put the eldest through private school to become a teacher and then work in your house.
Yeah.
And that's teach all the other kids.
This is perfect. You should have talked to him 10 years ago.
Are there any of your kids into music?
I mean, we all have sort of various levels of, you know, somebody that's creative. I have a couple that are really super musical and I think will want to do it. I don't know if nobody's officially formed a band. Isaac's one of his son's a great guitar player. And, and interesting, it'll be, you know, as far as people actually doing it and saying, hey, I'm going to go out and perform, that hasn't happened officially, but probably it's probably partly the fact that they're so in proximity to it. Then in one sense, it's a huge propelling forward. Like there's like 12 drum sets and there's keyboards and there's guitar and I'm on tour. On the other hand, it probably also is a little overwhelming because they're looking at something that is the embodiment of what it looks like to do that for real.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I would predict for sure. I'll have a couple that'll want to make music, but I don't know if it'll look like the way we've done it.
In that situation, do you have where you're going, well, I've got two musical kids here. We've already got a guitarist, so you're going to need to do drums, I think. We're going to have to... one of you's going to have to do keyboard, then we're going to have to split this up between you. That's how it works.
Yeah. I have one that said, I think he was probably 8 years old, he said, I don't really want to be a musician. I want to control the musicians. I thought, okay, you we need to keep an eye out for. That's right.
Which also reminds me of that one, the one scenario that you often talked about with the boys lined up and Penelope. Like,
oh gosh, yes, I am your leader.
He was like, Taylor was like, yeah, I came into the house the other day and the kids were playing and I peered into the room and the boys, Ezra and River were kind of against the wall and Penny was pacing back and forward saying, all right, now let's play, but let's pretend I am your leader. And she said it with such clarity and force that, and the boys like, kind of straightened up and stiffed their back and were like, okay.
And have any of them gone for the full shoulder length blonde hair? Or have you talked them out of that? Have they nicked the look?
My son had long hair for a minute. Yeah. And then he asked my wife to be his hairstylist and she did something that he didn't like, and now it's shorter again.
Yeah. No, it's shaved.
So I blame him. It was his fault. He asked mom to do something. I said, I don't think you want her to do that. He was like, no, I do. And then he was like, I don't like it. It's horrible. Yeah. What did I do?
Do you know what must be difficult, though? Especially because you've got, like, you guys, when you've got the kids so young and so old, like, that spread of kids, is that moving between potty training and then, oh, my God, I'm 16 and they've broken up with me. How do you, because, like I say, when they're in different classes, when you've got 5 or 7, it must be hard to jump between the two because you've got your head space in the younger ages. And then as they get older, you're like, God, I can't talk about that now. I'm just still wiping shit up off the floor.
It's sort of zone defense all the time.
Yeah. You know? It's never, no quiet moments really, basically in my house.
We've often though made the joke that having a lot of children is kind of like hanging around musicians because musicians have similar traits as young children. It'll be like, for example, they think the whole world revolves around them. The other thing is, they do things like mine. I want it. And you know, occasionally they throw up on themselves, you know, et cetera. So you know, it's
right. They're usually stumbling around with some sort of drink.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Exactly.
Is that appropriate?
Not
for
fully. Not fully toilet trained. You know.
Yeah, it's obviously, you know, having a lot of kids is there's just a lot of things going on at the same time. That's really all you can say.
How much sleep are you getting when you've got 5 or 7? I mean, I really feel sorry. This is the first interview we've ever done where someone having 3 kids is considered so unremarkable. That we're steering every question away. I'm so sorry.
And you're making that point from earlier.
I'm so sorry.
It somehow seems normal.
Yeah. I'm perfectly fine with being unremarkable.
I'm so sorry.
As far as kids and sleep, I find some good concert quality earplugs really increase the amount of sleep you can get, you know?
I just think, because I've got 2 kids, and two, and that's tough. And, you know, occasionally someone will be ill or like, that, you know, one of them will just wake up because they've had a nightmare or whatever. But if you've got five or seven, or let's not beat around the bush, five or seven. If you've got five or six, like, there must be constantly an ill child, or there must be constantly a child that's woken up earlier than. Do you know what I mean? Is there ever a point when you go, that was a day that flew by?
I mean, the truth is, it is a comedy of errors, and it's a traveling circus.
Yeah,
that's the facts of it. Yeah. But it's like anything too. I mean, once you're in a zone, you adjust to what your normal is. So yeah. Like people that actually sleep through the night, to me, that's weird. So it's like, what's your problem? What do you mean? Like you lay down and then you wake up at the end of it? What are you talking about? What is this? No, you haven't gotten up to feed someone or clean something or, you know, put out a fire at midnight and then wake up in a stupor. No, it's, I don't know. It's like the difference in people that choose to go after, you know, starting a business. Like they say that if you own a business, you never actually, you know, you never actually go, you know, don't work. Like you own the thing. So, you know, if you own it, if it's yours, it's like with children, they're always going to be your children, no matter how old you get. Like, I think my mom said early on, and I thought I kind of scared me. She's like, you never really sleep the same once you have children. And I thought, well, that's kind of, you mean like for a few years? She's like, no, you just never really sleep the same. And that's true because you are the parent now. Yeah. You keep waiting for somebody to be like, you know, show up officially and like okay, now I'm the one that's going to really do this. I remember leaving the hospital with our first child and then genuinely having this feeling. Of course, I was very young, looking at my wife and going, wait, hold on a second. Like, they're going to leave us with him? you have to take like a test to drive a car, but you have to take a test to take a child home, you know? But it's, I think that's the adventure, right? It's madness. Like
I think you could relate having this many kids to like, some people keep reptiles as pets, right?
Yeah. You're going to compare your children to reptiles?
I'm excited about where this is going, by the way. I'm just very excited.
Hey, wow.
You're like, why do you have a python? I don't get it, right?
Okay, I'm still
right. And they're super happy and having a great time and loving to feed it dead animals. And you're just going, why? I don't get it.
Yeah.
So when you think about me and you're like, but it seems so weird, you're right. It's like people who keep reptiles.
Zach has compared his children to a boa constrictor.
Have you met Junior? Yeah.
You do feed him dead mice as well, don't you? That's one of his favourite treats. So do your partners get help when you go away on tour? Like you're away for 5 months, do you get help in, or is it just sort of family members, or just they just go for it solo?
Well, the upside, I think, to some extent, is that it's a little bit like a tour of duty when you go, you know, on the road.
I just love how indirect this answer is. You know, he didn't say, yeah, we have a nanny. He goes, it's like a tour of duty. It's one of those things you got to go through, like a coming of age, you know. There's a lot of pain involved.
He was trying to describe himself going away.
Yeah. I mean, I think... I mean,
your kids are old enough that you don't really need help, right? You have two teenagers.
Yeah, I've got a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old, and they're both taller than me. Yeah. You know, and
a daughter.
And a daughter who is not taller than me. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so we're kind of in an interesting stage where the kids are not as dependent as the parents were. But we've got a great mom, and she is around a lot whenever. You know, whenever kids...
Grandma Hansen.
Grandma Hansen needs to, you know, adopt, you know, a few kids for an afternoon. Our mom has often been that person.
She's got 24 on the books.
24 options. If she did one a day for a month, she'd only have 6 days off. Like,
It's true.
Yeah. We all do it a little differently. I mean, like in your case, your older kids are... adult humans, so
yeah. I mean,
it's
I have
sort of like
really
built-in dynamics that are totally different.
We have grandmas on both sides, so there's a back and forth between that and all the. I mean, definitely aunts and uncles. I mean, there's a lot of family around. That's the main handle.
Your Georgia family moved from Georgia to Oklahoma.
Yeah, my wife's family all live here, so I mean, it's a combination of things, but definitely it gets a lot. It makes a lot more sense as the big ones are all of a sudden able to.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you're driving the kids to school. You're getting the groceries. You know. Oh, you just got your driver's license. You're so happy about that. Here's the list.
Yeah. You know. We've got you a car seat to go in the back. Yes. For your
look at this. Here
siblings.
You are. Yeah. You are your own personal, your family Uber right here. You know.
I suppose if you've got a lot, you've only ever got little ones for 3 or 4 years at any one time, because by the time they're out of that little stage, they're big enough to sort of help out and they, you know, become teenagers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's actually a really good idea. I'm going to tell Lou. We've got 4 months to go.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to be exhausted.
And then you'd be like, oh, the Hanson guys told me this was a good idea.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to get some sort of counseling bill sent from you.
I'll send you guys a t-shirt that said Hanson made me do it.
Yeah, that's right. Can Grandma Hanson have some of my kids for a couple of the weekends of the year as well?
No. No, you have to reserve those slots years in advance.
Yeah, so how do you do
that? Have that? Yeah, do you have a situation where you're like, could you do Tuesday? And you're like, no, sorry, I've got Wednesday afternoon. That's all I've got free next week. Yeah.
You think you're joking. That's pretty much what happens, actually.
Yeah. When we started having kids, it was like that. We'd be like, hey, Mom, can you hang out with Shepherd on Tuesday? And she'd be like, yeah. And then we'd come over with the one-year-old, and there'd be four kids there. And I'd be like,
she runs
I thought you were watching
service.
Shepherd. And she'd be like, well, Taylor called, and Isaac called, your sister called, everyone called.
So they're
and
all
so
here.
What ends up happening is your kids just become really close to their cousins, and then it's just sort of a
daycare service.
Yeah.
No, it's a feral daycare service sometimes.
Yeah, the quality drops. You can't look after that many kids and it'd be all right, can you? And no, so what's her limit? Has she got a limit where she goes, right, I've got 24 grandkids, the most I can have is 10 at any one time. Has she got a limit?
No.
She does one in, one out, like a nightclub.
Has she ever had them all overnight for a sleepover? Not all 24.
I don't think all. No. I don't think all of them at once overnight. Actually,
a 19-year-old don't want to stay over with a 1-year-old in the house, do they? Yeah. Unnecessarily, just to have like cookies at 11.
Probably the best thing about us all having kids is that relationship that's built in for those. So we all three have a 13-year-old boy, right? And so Taylor has a 15-year-old boy as well, and Isaac does as well. So like, there's like five boys that are like a built-in basketball team. You know, they play together. And my second son is best friends with my sister's oldest. You know, like there's these built-in relationships. They have other friends too. We don't live in a commune.
Yeah. It does feel like a bit of a cult at this point.
Well, not yet. We're developing
the cult
that.
Of Hanson,
but
we feel like it's important to clarify those things sometimes.
I think there's a documentary. How have you not got? You should do a reality show with this. This can't. Yeah. This needs to be on telly. That's how this works.
There's a weekly request for that.
Blood ritual.
There's not enough cameras.
It's just, you know, people. We don't want to share that.
Yeah,
you know,
put them off. Yeah, gargling each other's blood, singing Mbop without the lyrics every night before bed.
We're just, you know, Megan Fox got the idea from us. It's weird. Yeah.
I've got a music question. So when you've got a song like Mbop, where do you drop that in a set? Because I always think, like, when you've got, like, one of the biggest songs that's ever happened in your set.
Right.
And do you do you end on it?
The only rule is don't do it first, because it's pretty much down from there.
Yeah. You
know? Well, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how seriously to answer that. I mean, it is, on a serious note, figuring out a way to place that song amidst lots of other, you know, the live show is really like kind of a career-wide, you know, project.
Yeah.
Mm, and so it happens a lot of times. It's, you know, towards the end, but it's not the last song.
Do you ever go, we're not going to play it tonight?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
we've had a couple tours where we did one tour where we didn't play it. And, you know, it's one of those things that it's all about how it works in the show.
Yeah.
The advantage we have now is so many of the fans, like the true fans that buy tickets and want to come see a show, they really became fans, not just on that first record, but on the second record. The ones that are like that show up over and over. And so that, if it was truly just, well, we had this one song and that every person in the room that was just there for that, that would be a pain.
Yeah.
That would be not good.
I think, it's gone beyond that now. Well, I saw Chesney Hawkes and he did the one and only twice in a set.
What?
He opened with it and closed with it. And he denies this, but I swear he did. I'll do a radio show and he's coming on it to debate it with me. It's quite funny. He reckons he's never done it twice, but I'm sure he did.
Did he maybe imply it? Maybe he just like did a chorus of it and then moved on. It was like in a medley.
Maybe implied. He mimed it without a backing track.
That's sort of like, are you pregnant or not pregnant? I'm kind of pregnant.
Yeah.
He implied the song. Did you play it or not?
On the pregnant thing, when you've had six kids, when someone tells you they're pregnant, how do you act surprised? Like,
with the seven?
Yeah. You mean just like someone on the street or like your partner?
You're right.
I mean, I walk up to pregnant people all the time, like, really? No.
Yeah. It's not mine, is it?
That's not exactly.
I've implied it's mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
I will say that...
Isaac is your own personal laugh track. He just is here so he can be the laugh voice.
Well, he's got time to laugh. He's sleeping and enjoying his life.
That's right.
Look how happy he is. Look how happy he is with three kids.
It's if you only knew.
Of my five children, believe it or not, you can put me on a lie detector, none of them were a surprise. So
Fair enough. My wife
said, I'm pregnant, I was like, it's about time.
I said, oh my God, I think after six.
Are you all done now, though? Any more kids or are you all done?
Is this a collective question again?
Yeah.
You gotta start calling out who you're talking to here. It's just, you know, are we just one being?
No, okay, it would be weird if I just went, just Isaac, no one else. Are you gonna? I'm open. I want to know from all of you.
I'm kind of curious to hear what the other guys say.
We're definitely done. This is the seven person talking.
Yeah.
Seven human. I never liked saying it, honestly, because I always felt really arrogant and sort of like, I didn't like the way it sounded when I looked at somebody and be like, I'm so done. I just, it felt bad to me.
How does it feel now?
It feels, I'm at peace with it, but I still don't like it. I'm at peace with it, but I don't love saying it because I would have never predicted being a dad. And I honestly think that we're all joking about this, but I think that our generation is so spoiled, so self-consumed, so full of themselves that the best thing we could do is have a generation of people that raise more kids. And I know everybody, you know, there's people that are worried about overpopulating the world, but having kids puts you in such a place of service and of humanity and reminding you like how you're supposed to act. Our whole generation has behaved like children. Like we are the children. I think becoming a parent in a lot of respects is like, okay, like, this is good. You're going to be better for it, I promise.
Mm. Also, it spreads the cost of a retirement home, doesn't it? You get somewhere nicer to live.
Yeah, but it's craziness. And yeah, I mean, we're definitely finished, but it's... Yeah.
Just the one person I wanted to speak to about that. No, fuck off. Don't care. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself.
Edit this bit out. That's fine.
See, I have a very specific reason why I have five kids, right?
Okay.
One is I was never in charge of it. Just whatever my wife wants. Okay, that's the first reason. But the real reason is I think you keep having kids until you find one that you think truly loves you. And then you can put them in charge of your life when you lose your mind and are too old. Because we had, you know, Shepherd, our first, I'm like, I don't know.
He's
this
not gonna
kid's
take care
really
of you when
busy.
You're...
And then Junia, our second, she was like, she told me this. She's like, Dad, when you get old, I am putting you in a home as soon as possible because I don't want to deal with you. I'm like, girl, you're 10 years old. That is rough. Okay. So Abraham, our third, he's really sweet, but I think he might forget about us.
He's kind of a rascal.
Yeah. Yeah. Junia, or Lucille is a princess, and so she's just going to take all the money and like buy a horse or a pony. And then Quincy, our fifth, was like, okay, I think we have enough. Our odds are fine.
He's going to take care of you. He's the one that's going to look out for you.
Yeah.
He's going to go head to head with Junia and be like, no, we're not putting him in the home. Is that what you're hoping for? He's going to be like, no, Dad, Dad's my friend.
She'll be like, he can live with you.
He knows my name.
When I was a baby, he was actually there.
I never knew my father. That's what the others say. You know.
We always end on the same question. Oh, I'm going to ask it to all of you, but Rob only wants one of you to answer it. So,
And I don't mind which one.
Just not Isaac.
Yeah. I'll go back to my first response. I'm perfectly fine being inadequate.
Inadequate? Oh, my God.
That was unremarkable, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, unremarkable. You know, I mean, geez, if I'm willing to say that about myself, imagine how my wife feels.
Yes. Well, I should say, as it is a promo interview, if you want to see that Hanson live in the UK...
Run through the tour dates.
I've got them here if you want them. Nottingham, UK, Roxy, 26th of June, 28th of June, Glasgow, 29th of June, Manchester, O2 Ritz, 30th of June, London, Roundhouse, July 2nd, Bristol, O2 Academy, and July 3rd, Leeds, UK, the University, Stylus. Must be the club it's in.
Album is out on the 20th of May as well.
It's pretty much the best album you've never heard yet.
Yeah. Well, the red, green, and blue, that's the album, isn't it?
Yeah. It's crayon colors. Yeah. That's why their children did
I can't talk seriously about this now. It's a red, green, blue album. There's a lot of colors. There's music in there.
I hope so. It's not just colors. Like it. That'd be just a light show, no sound. You're just going to imply songs throughout the lights.
Yes. It's like being kind of pregnant. It's kind of music.
Yeah. We're going to kind of be there. There will be holograms for half the shows in Latin America. Do you want to ask the final question, Josh?
Oh, yeah. So we always ask, is there anything that your partner does parenting wise that annoys you, but you don't have the guts to say it? But were they to listen to this podcast, this would be your chance to pass that message across.
Let me just ask you this.
Let me give you some good advice. Don't share this answer if you want to stay married.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, successful. I'm about to be married for 20 years. That's why I don't have an answer for you. Okay, words of the wise gentleman listening. When a radio host says, tell me, I mean, what, you and me, we're friends. You should know. Just give it. Yeah, do one. Yeah, it's a secret.
It's a podcast. We're more, you know, intimate. We let feelings out.
No one listens to podcasts. Just say it. It'll never get back.
You're about to be gone for 5 months and leave the kids alone with you. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah. The house will be empty when you come home. Yeah.
Just go look after them for 5 months, but just do not leave towels on the floor because that has been annoying me for the last 10 years.
Yeah. I would say, though, if you did come home and the house was empty, that first day and a half would be nice, though, wouldn't it? You know, once the grief catches up with you that she's left, but that first day, I always think, imagine that day. It'd be lovely, wouldn't it? First,
it'd be very relaxing. And then, okay. Like you said, the grief would catch up.
I'm trying to think of something I can share.
Something that's also, you know, not going to.
Benign. Benign.
Going to come back to haunt you.
My wife uses one of those nasal pots, honey pot. What do they call them?
Neti pots?
Neti pots.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like Navaj or whatever.
What's this? So disgusting.
What, she pours honey in her nose?
Like where you pour the into your
sinuses. Helps clean your sinuses.
I'm like, guys, no. No.
And so it leaves it out.
It's just, I don't know what this is. The poor honey in
her
own
nose. Oh, it's like a spray. You put honey into your nose.
It's called a neti pot.
It's a neti pot. It's like a,
it's a sinus cleaning thing.
Oh, wow.
It's just, to me, that's why we stopped having kids.
And, oh, God, I've seen it. It's horrific. So it's like a little teapot that you pour in your own nose to clear your nose out.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. I think, I can just clip this up and send it straight to her. What's her email? Just to let her know.
I love you so much.
I'm just going to go with
a bit less every time I see you use this teapot for your sinuses.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's mental.
I'm just going to go with Zach. Zach, you are a deeply insensitive husband, and you clearly don't suffer from allergies the way that she does.
Look, I just know I'm about to pay for this, so I've already put in my mind how much it's going to cost me.
Yeah. He's got an allergy to the neti pot. That's what his allergy is. Thanks so much, lads. We really appreciate this.
It's been such a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Absolutely, guys.
If you ever have to interview three people, the way to do it is just don't talk to one of them. That's what we found.
It's one question for everyone on the call. It's the easiest way.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for doing it. And you're on tour and the album's out 20th of May. Red, green, blue.
And if you are in the UK and don't fancy a little trip away, they're doing Salt Lake City on the 7th of September, if you fancy that. Always like to chuck in a random one. Yeah.
What's the one you're looking forward to most?
Gosh, well, we'll be all over the world. I mean, US,
Brazil. You're doing a lot in Brazil. You're big in Brazil.
Yeah.
It's South America and Australia are bigger shows.
Yeah,
as a
absolutely.
Whole, so.
Australia will be announced soon. So
November. I'm in Australia and New Zealand in November. I mean, it's quite a big place. Probably won't cross paths, but if we do, I'll give you a shout.
Into each other.
Yeah. We'll go for a beer and I'll ask you all the same question at once.
Yeah, I mean, if you see a group of people with a bunch of kids around them,
yeah,
it's probably one of these guys.
Yeah. Which will be worrying considering you don't travel with your own children, but that's up to you. What happens on tour stays on tour.
Thanks very much,
cheers,
guys.
Thank
it's been
you
absolute
so much.
Pleasure. Cheers. Thank
good
you
luck
so much.
With it. Bye.
You guys have a good one.
Hanson.
Hanson.
Oh.
There we go. Oh, wow. I really enjoyed that.
Can I be honest? Yeah. I didn't know how it was going to work. I've never really seen them be interviewed before. I didn't know if they were, especially with bands, you never know if they want to do it or if they've been bullied into it. I was nervous for Hanson.
I was more nervous for Hanson than I was for Robbie Williams. How does that work?
But they were brilliant. They're really funny.
They were lovely. Brilliant. Great guys. Really fun.
They've got so many kids. And poor Nan, 24 Hansons unbopping about. Where do you put Umbop in a set? We didn't play at one tour. What?
What?
Pardon? So I was doing an episode of this, not mentioning having kids at all, ever. No, I didn't. Just want to sort of explore new places in my chat, really, rather than talking about my kids. They were good, though. They were very normal, considering they were so famous so young. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I reckon I'm going to bump into them in Australia and go out in the piss with Hanson. That's a dream. I'd love that.
That would be the dream.
Yeah. See you on Tuesday, Josh.
See you on Tuesday. Bye.